Boys Lunch.
Here we go.
Welcome back to Boys Lunch. We're happy that you're here.
And we are here. And happy you are. Oh, and a Boys Lunch. Oh, man. I don't normally do the introduction. Two Catholic teachers talking about stuffs. We are indeed Boys Lunch. You can email us at any time at boyslunch1@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram at Boys Lunch Podcast. We are happy to be back. We're recording a little bit earlier in the morning. So this is Boys Lunch Breakfast
edition.
I did lock the door. Yeah. How you been, bud?
I'm good. I was just checking actually your Boys Lunch email because I just don't do that. Anyway, I mean, we check it all the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, I just want to give a little, maybe some a little encouragement. Mm-hmm. If you're a listener, we've lost some people over the summer.
Yeah.
And some of our college kids are just too cool for school. So
I'm sure that's what it is.
If you, maybe you're a student at Central, talk to another student and say, hey, listen to Boys Lunch. If you're out in college, maybe reach out to one of your friends from here that you remember because you love them.
You love them.
Tell them to take a little listen. If you're a parent, tell another parent. Maybe try to tell someone about us.
Because
we're suffering.
Yeah. That summer, I mean, our inconsistency, we definitely dropped off. Now
we definitely still have listeners, but we just want to.
Yeah. We're not desperate, but.
I sound really desperate, don't I?
Yeah, just a little bit. That's okay. Yeah, we're still getting great listenership, which we're excited about, but we'd love to see it grow even more, especially now that Central Catholic has allowed us to use their name. We'd love to make this something special where we're reaching out to...
Not that they never were allowing
right.
us. We were just kind of going undercover for a little bit.
Well, I think we wanted to make sure we had our stuff straight in a row before we used their name.
Hey, so. The email is from Callan.
What?
About our lawsuit with Josh.
Oh, this is Josh...
So this is about countersuing Josh.
Oh, nice. Countersuing.
Yeah, so Callan, our attorney, has gotten back to us.
Pro bono.
I got all the paperwork finalized for the countersue. You'll find it attached to this email. All I need is for you to give me the word, and I'll send it out as the suit goes on. You'll want to look like the victim in the public eye. Try to make Josh look like a terrible human being on your podcast. This shouldn't be hard. I can also get the visual designs department to Photoshop pictures of Josh kicking puppies. We found this to be the most... in the past. Let me know if you want me to add anything before the document gets sent out.
Nice.
Have a good lunch, Callan Schmidt, attorney at law. It is an actual, wow. I wish we had a website because I would attach this.
Oh, that's awesome. You should tweet it.
Callan Schmidt of Smitty's Bar and Grill Basement Law Firm. Yes. Thank you, Callan.
Oh, that's phenomenal.
Nice. Anyway, how you been?
So good.
It's been a crazy episode already. I think we're just thrown off from getting here a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
We've been busy. We had a good weekend. My family, I don't know about you, got to go to a wedding. I haven't been to a wedding in a while, so my cousin got married. That was a lot of fun. And you know what? There was a little Harry Potter quote on the what do you call it? That's given out. They give you the little things saying like who's in the bridal party.
Oh, yeah.
How the event is going to go. Like
a program. Yeah.
Program. That's the word I'm looking for. Yeah. Down at the bottom, they had a Harry Potter quote. Mm-hmm. And for my Harry Potter heads out there, it's from Ginny and Harry.
Yeah.
And Ginny says, seems silly, doesn't it? A wedding, given everything that's going on. And Harry responds, maybe that's the reason to have it, because of everything that's going on.
Oh.
And I was like, wow. But it was so true. I mean, I love Harry Potter, but like, there is something just great about like having that celebration with other people and seeing family that I haven't seen in a while. So.
Yeah, because these are people that are... family members that were living in Texas for a while.
Texas, North Carolina.
All over.
So, it was really good to do that. The boys just love being in a wedding,
yeah,
dancing, having a good time. So, yeah, we got to go up to Chicago, so that was kind of cool.
Nice.
So, yeah, nice little weekend. How about you? Anything new? Just gearing up for all the things we have going on.
Yeah, gearing up for this week. We've got a sophomore retreat
on Thursday.
Getting excited. We got homecoming stuff coming the following week.
The sophomore boys out to the woods. Teach him some lessons.
It's not that terrifying, I swear. It is. We're excited. We do. This is one of our favorite retreats where it's the girls and the boys have separate retreats, and it's a time to kind of challenge them as Christian men, and to have some fun. We're going to do some service projects. I'm sure there's going to be tackle football.
Probably knock over some trees.
Knock over some trees, chuck something in the water, the lake, maybe change some tires. I don't know.
It'd be a lot of fun.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah, so we got that going. We got homecoming next week. So I think this is a – really, do I get stressed because I just suppress a lot of the anxiety and fears that I have?
Nice. Always healthy.
But I am more stressed than I normally am. So I just love this.
This has been a front-loaded year.
It just does seem like a lot is happening within September, but that's fine because that'll make October a lot better, right?
Absolutely.
Isn't that the positive way to look at it?
That is one way. There's like a bunch of stuff in October as well. But yeah, sure. November, though. Whatever. November. We're going to get some time to breathe.
Oh, but we had a lot of stuff in November.
What do we have in November?
I don't know.
Thanksgiving.
Hey, intern sent us some questions. Also, though, I opened up my phone this morning and I got an update saying Taco Bell to test 30-day Taco Pass.
Kind of like the coffee passes you see where it's like you get one coffee per day for like $20.
Right.
And then
that's what it is.
That's
you get a taco per day for like a fee for that month.
How much is a taco pass?
It says the Taco Lovers Pass costs between $5 and $10 depending on the location and guarantees the holder a free daily taco for 30 days.
Now, not free, but okay.
Yeah.
So you could cash
in. But also like who goes to Taco Bell to just get one taco?
That's true.
This does not seem like a very good thing.
I don't know, maybe afternoon snack. I don't know. Yeah, you're right. Nobody's coming out of there with just one taco.
Because when I got the Panera like coffee for the month thing,
right.
I was like forcing myself to go get coffee even though I didn't necessarily want it because I knew that I was getting free coffee.
Right.
So maybe they're just hoping like people are like,
oh yeah,
I guess I'll go get diarrhea again.
But they are definitely banking on the fact it's like, well, I'm gonna get this free taco, but I'm also gonna order $5 more.
Yeah, because I'm
or that Baja Blast. Hey, a little update for the listeners. I am wearing an undershirt today. I'm going to have Joey describe exactly how successful it's been.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, there's just like ponds of water.
Yeah, I am. I have a problem. I think I need to go see a doctor. My sweat has now gone through two shirts. It looks just as bad as it did. So, Mark, I appreciate the undershirts, but for whatever reason today, it is just not working.
It's all right.
So some questions.
Yeah, dude, I just... Hey, prayers for Paul, guys. Prayers for Paul's pits. We got some questions from our intern. I'll start with Jake's because long-time listener.
Absolutely.
Top three college majors that are a joke. Jake, I don't know if we can answer that. I don't want to offend anyone in the listener base. Probably our own major.
Yeah, if you're looking for like guaranteed cash coming out of college.
In the grand scheme of things, theology. Philosophy, some of the highest level pursuits of education.
Absolutely.
And of knowledge.
If you're looking to be employed.
Yeah, likelihood of a job.
in that said field.
Without having to teach.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think I want to answer
that. Yeah, I don't really want to answer that too much.
His other one was Joan of Arc versus Iron Man, 1v1.
Oof.
If it's Joan of Arc without like God, Iron Man every time. Until you start to destroy Joan of Arc.
Divine intervention, though. You never know.
That's what I mean. Like, if it's not Saint Joan of Arc.
Yeah.
I mean, if God's not on her side, she got a little sword.
I'm going to call it a draw. Joan of Arc would get him to lay down his arm or suit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm going to call it a draw. But it'll be a bloodbath.
Aiden McCoy, Joseph, why are you the way that you are?
There's just no way really to explain why Joseph is the way that he is.
Isn't he trying? It sounds like he's trying to be negative there, isn't he?
Yeah. Why?
It wasn't like a positive, like, hey,
yeah, why is
you're awesome. Like, why are you this way?
Yeah.
Well, Aiden, because God loves me and gave me these quirks that I have.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe you need to look in the mirror, Aiden, and ask yourself, hey, Jack Bremer, Latin Mass, yay or nay? Why not?
Yeah. I don't, I think it's a beautiful celebration of the Eucharist.
I don't think we need to make a mandate saying that it only needs to be Latin Mass, but I'm not opposed to Latin Mass. Thinking, yeah, it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Having the opportunity to been to a handful, I think I've always enjoyed them. But yeah, no, I would never say that like we must return to the Latin Mass.
Is that what he's trying to ask?
I don't think so. I think he's just genuinely asking thoughts.
No, I think it's beautiful. It's cool. I think there's something cool about it, like a universal language being like kind of used. But I think... That answers that.
Yeah, I highly recommend going to one if you haven't. It's just an experience one should.
Toby asked us, will Central go on the March for Life this year? I don't know.
They will.
Are they?
They are going. And
if so, will either of you attend? And then there's a bee and a deer.
A bee
emoji.
Like a buzz bee and a deer emoji. Yeah. Interesting.
I don't know if we'll be able to attend. Normally they'll take a chaplain and then one of the admin will go. So.
Yeah.
So if we get the opportunity, maybe.
I've been
a couple times before. I think it's a really powerful experience.
But. Yeah, I think I've been 3 times.
Yeah.
Yeah, highly recommend. If you get a chance to, if you've got a Newman Center that is taking a trip, do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely a powerful experience.
How do I push through my social anxiety? So an actual, like, serious question.
Yeah.
A legit question. Cool.
I think one thing that's helped me and helped others is this notion of, or this recognition that we do or have a tendency to what's called spotlighting, where we amplify our own, like, insecurities about things, or assume that, like, when we're in a room with other people that everyone is looking at us. Mm. When in reality, I think everybody else is kind of has a similar approach where they're overly concerned and think that everybody's looking at them and is worried about what they're doing. When in reality, like, no, there isn't, like, you picture a spotlight. Like, there's not a spotlight on us. People are concerned about their own thing and their own lives. Mm-hmm. And when you're in a larger group or in a new social gathering, to recognize that, to try to take a breath and a calm approach of just like, okay, like, not everybody in this room is concerned with how I approach this or what I do or how I'm eating, what food, you know, that type of stuff. I think spotlighting is a real thing. Look into it. There's much smarter people than I that have talked about this, but it's a real tendency to think, and it's incorrect to believe. Cause I mean, think about it. The next time you go in a room, are you really focused in on one person and just, like, consumed by what they're doing? And should they be anxious that you're in the room with them? No, probably not.
Yeah. I guess I never knew, like, the proper term for it, but I think that was my experience. I finally got to a point where I did realize, like, wow, people really don't care about me as much as I thought. Like, not in a bad way, but they're not really worried about what I'm doing. And I'm putting so much emphasis, and I don't need to worry so much about what they're thinking when it's all, like, hypothetical.
Yeah.
And we're not trained, like,
we're not
counselors or anything like that. If it is, like, I think a big problem, I think not being afraid of, like, talking to someone about it or.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's one of those things, like, with spiders, they're more scared of you than you are them.
Oh, nice.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
But I think there is that notion of, like, even just putting myself out there and talking to somebody, like, that they're going to make a bigger deal about it than it really is. Like,
right.
People are generally, like, willing to talk to somebody else and just getting over that barrier.
Or if they're like me, where I tend to replay a conversation that didn't go ideally over and over and over in my head until the next day or even longer. When in reality, the person that you've probably had that conversation with, A, didn't think it was weird.
Yeah.
And B, hasn't thought about it since that moment.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. We kind of get so focused on these, like, slight miscues or awkward moments. And when we're in reality, the other person has already forgot about it. So.
Yeah, you made a lot of good points there.
Yeah.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity.
All right, now it's time to get to the topic today. Kind of came to our minds last week. We were talking about, how did we even come up with Richie last week?
That's a great question.
Oh, no, it was about friendship.
Yeah.
That's what it was. We're talking about, like, a true and solid friendship is one that is based on, like, noble common goals, like building virtue and becoming a virtuous person.
Yes, absolutely.
And then I was like, well, maybe we should, like, try to do a podcast making virtue more practical.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very kind of abstract idea, and people always say do it, but, like, it can start to be overwhelming. Like, well, what do I start doing? Because they've laid it out very well within Aquinas and Aristotle of, like, very specific virtues. And sorry, I cut you off.
Because you've got concepts like justice, love, prudence. I mean, all these different things where it's like, okay, those are things I should have. How do I get them? How do I practice them? What does that look like?
To make them, like, a little more jazzy, a little more exciting.
We're going to jazz up the virtues.
There's virtues, like, there's certain words when you write them on a board, you know, students are like, ah, jeez. This could be a long day.
Buckle up.
But I think, like, they are important concepts. Yeah. Like, when you write moral law on a board, they're like, brutal.
Give me more fortitude.
Yeah. Like, I'd get through this fast because moral law.
Ooh, cardinal virtues.
Yeah. But if we look at Aquinas, he phrases his whole, St. Thomas Aquinas, saint in the 1200s, was a systematic theologian. So he was trying to really organize our faith seeking understanding. And he saw the moral life, so our life here on earth, as a journey towards happiness. And the end goal is eternal happiness. Like, I would love to be happy forever. And he said that the three main, and this is how he kind of splits up some of his Summa, the three main paths to seeking and finding happiness on our journey is, number one, grace, like God's life given to us.
Yeah.
Like we cannot do this apart from God. And that's what elevates all of our actions beyond just our basic human actions, is grace and the intervention of God. Right?
Beautiful.
Boom. The second one would be law. There are certain things where we need guidance, whether it's our natural human law that we were given, whether it's actual human law that's made civil law, mm-hmm. whether it's divine law from the Bible or eternal law from God. Like, law is what helps guides us. We do a lot of lessons trying to teach kids that laws aren't bad.
Right.
There are some laws that are bad, but rules actually help us to be satisfied, healthy, and free.
Right. They don't actually limit freedom. They actually enable us to pursue the good.
Yeah. So life. You got grace, you got law. The last one he says is virtue. As I'm moved by grace and guided by law, I start to actually perform actions, good actions that I'm made to do over and over again, and make this consistent habit within my life, where now these actions become very easy to do. They're prompt, they're joyful. Mm-hmm. And every time I do them, I get better at them. And these are all these different virtues. Normally you hear the seven that are listed: the theological, faith, hope, charity, and then the cardinal, prudence, justice, temperance, fortitude. But each one has like 20 sub virtues underneath it. So yeah. Anyway, that's kind of the basic gist of why, like, some of the Christian idea. Aristotle does a lot of work within the Nicomachean Ethics on virtue, which is what Aquinas kind of builds off and then brings Christ into that.
But yeah.
In Aristotle's time, what they really saw, what it meant to be human, was to be virtuous. The literal Latin term vir or virtus meant man or mankind. So to truly kind of live out what it meant to be human was someone that was living almost in perfection, like perfecting the things that they needed to do within life. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. No, and I think you've done that well. And one of the things we wanted to talk about today, and to kind of bring it down to a practical level, is what, for lack of a better word, we'll call it the virtue economics, right? The idea that there is this, the good, or try to practice these virtues, right? The easier they become, the firm and habitual disposition to do the good, they build upon each other, right? The idea is that you can kind of get this momentum going. It becomes easier for you to attain and draw closer to this perfection, this fulfillment, right? By these good acts, you're seeking and attaining the good. You are living out these virtues in a way that is unique, that orders you towards the good of other over self. God first, right? Others, self. This kind of idea is proper ordering of life. So it allows us to attain authentic freedom. People think like, oh, you're expected to live a certain way, like. That you're limiting my freedom. You're not allowing me to be free. Well, in reality, freedom is that, and the virtues help us, free us from temptation, free us from sin, free us from those things that turn us inwards. They actually free us to live out these virtues in a more genuine way, to love as we're ought to. So, I think we all see and witness is that when we are struggling, it becomes easier to fall into sin. Example, right? If I'm not praying, if I'm not getting up with my alarm, I know that I'm going to be disposed to be less patient with my daughters later in the evening, because these things kind of build upon it. So when I say economics, it kind of sways with, right? Your practice of virtues is also dictates your ability to love and to give of self, right? So there is this kind of like,
it was like a county sheet, like credit and debt.
Right, exactly. Like, yeah. And it's, I don't want, yeah. But so when is, I say economics, so. Right, like I don't want to limit it to that. Like, well, I just got to put more ones in the good column than the bad, and that's how I'll get to heaven. Because that's not it. But they do just, they're so interconnected. I think that's the beauty and the complexity of the human spirit, is this idea that like our externally, the body and soul interconnected, working as one, right? The greater order I am towards the good of others and for the love of God, the freer I am to operate as humanity is meant to. And then it just becomes easier, and you reach these heights of love, charity, patience, all these different virtues that you didn't even know that you had, right? And when faced with difficult things, or a five-year-old that's absolutely losing it because they've had a long week, like when you've had and laid that foundation, you've got the ability, and you're mm-hmm. more disposed to be patient and show it. Now,
I think what you're getting at is like every time then I don't wake up with my alarm and I don't do that, it's helping form this habit on the other side.
Yeah.
And everything that we do is based on our habits. We are habitual creatures. Really, that is how we are made. Like I kind of go through this in my classes. Even when you're growing up, to learn how to run, first you need to learn how to stand and balance. Then you need to be able to walk, and then you have to run, and then you have to be able to run and play soccer and kick a ball at the same time. Like everything we do within our, like you said, our bodily, but also kind of our mental, is all based on habits. And habits make things easy for us, make it so we don't even have to think about them. But habits can be good or bad. That's the whole idea of virtue and vice. every single action, what we're kind of talking about with these economic things is every action we're choosing throughout our lives is either causing a new habit to start or increasing or decreasing a habit that we have. Mm-hmm. And people that are really into like making resolutions and making commitments, maybe it's New Year's or Lent, we've talked about these things before, you understand like consistently doing something over and over is helping us form this habit. Yeah. So when it comes to virtue, there's a lot of things in our life, even at the smallest level, that bring us some kind of joy and fulfillment. By doing a nice thing for someone once, I wouldn't have the virtue of that because it was just one time. Yeah. And maybe it was kind of hard for me to actually think to do it. Like I should be like, I should probably go like do something. That wouldn't be a virtue. But every time I'm choosing maybe not to gossip, when I have that thought in my head, I'm like, I want to say this about this person and kind of mock them behind their back. If I choose not to do that, I'm starting to form a habit in a different way of like, hey, I'm actually being respectful of someone's good name. So I think the economics or whatever of virtue is this idea that every little action throughout my day is helping move me to the kind of person I want to be or take me away.
What you're not saying is that this is merely a humanistic approach, right? Where it's just like, I'm just trying to be the best human I can be. You are,
that's Aristotle.
Right. You are participating in these virtues, receiving grace from God. Like when you show, when you participate in an act of love, right? You are participating in that divine love. You are becoming, you're, as you participate in it, you're drawn more to it and you want to do it again, right? But same thing, as you turn inward or give in to kind of maybe selfish desires for gossip or other things, you're turning away from that. You're kind of turning away from that thing that is going to lead us to fulfillment. And it becomes a thing where you can also kind of not spiral, but again, you lose.
It's the Catholic idea of salvation. Like, how are we saved? It is a constant process. Mm-hmm. It is working through our life in fear and trembling. It's an ongoing, effort, I guess.
Yeah.
We would never be anywhere without God, but it is that constant. Sometimes I'm moving closer to the person I'm made to be. And sometimes I'm drifting farther, and all these little actions are taking me like closer and farther away. And maybe that does seem overwhelming because I'm saying every single action. But I think what we're going to try to maybe give some practical advice is maybe starting to learn a few smaller specific virtues and maybe some that like directly go against some of the vices you have.
Yeah.
Sometimes like virtue is always found in the mean, meaning in like the middle of things. So there are extremes on one side. Let's say like work, even work, there's a virtue to working in the right way. The extreme of that would be a workaholic, someone who's working so much where they're ignoring the bigger duties they need to be doing in their life. And the other side would be sloth, someone that's not willing to do anything. Yeah. Virtue is always about finding that healthy amount. So even like within your work, we talk about like, I even say like with your money, there's a healthy relationship with money. There's someone who's too stingy and a miser and someone who's just too like attached to money or whatever. That like, you know what I'm talking about? Like there, virtue is always about finding the mean in your life. So maybe finding something like, I don't know, fraternal correction is like another one. Learning how to not only like challenge the people around you in your life, but also like take helpful criticism.
Yep.
So learning that virtue, maybe you're like, hey, I want to start to like listen to the people around me that are trying to help me. And I also want to try to help them in a healthy way. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's a virtue you want to work on. Maybe it's prudence. Maybe you want to learn how to start to prioritize your life. Be able to look at the full thing and choose the great over the good. Like that's the idea of prudence, trying to be more wise about what I'm saying. Am I saying the right thing at the right time in the right way? I know I'm throwing a lot of things out there, but it's maybe just choosing one of these and trying to work on it.
Yeah, I think it's helpful to maybe the next time that you're in confession, or if it's been a while since you've been in confession, to kind of do this examination. What am I overly attached to? Where am I falling regularly? What are some moments or opportunities for me for growth in my life? I just identify one or two of those and set out a time frame. You know, just over the next month, I'm going to work on this. In the next couple of weeks, I'm going to work on this. If you struggle, if you're just mornings are tough for you, not that this is necessarily sloth, but like if getting out on time is difficult for you, make that a challenge. Like get up with the alarm, right? That was one of the things that changed my life forever. Was just, and I think who was it? Jose Maria Escrivá, who says that like that heroic moment. If you get up with your alarm, you've won the first battle of the day. If you don't get up with it, you've lost the first battle of the day. And it's that heroic moment in the morning, right? Things like simple things like that can order your day in a way that's it's going to lend to greater openness and capacity to give of yourself.
Virtues will lead to other virtues. If I'm starting to form good habits in my life, it'll start to bleed into these other ones. So I think trying to focus on these one or two, that's what Ignatius of Loyola also like encouraged people to do is throughout their day, he has like a little dot system. Every time you're practicing that virtue, put a little dot on the line or something. So you can kind of analyze and see how you're doing throughout the day. But I think it's just like it generally will make you happier. The more easy it is to choose what is fulfilling to you, the more consistent it becomes in your life, the greater joy that comes with it. And it's even just things like that naturally bring joy to people, like being able to be consistently generous with your life, with your time, with your money, being able to understand the bigger picture and that you haven't gotten to where you are by yourself. Like that is a virtue. Someone who's consistently able to look at the world and say, I'm not here alone. My family has been there for me. My friends have been there for me, but most importantly, God has been there for me. Like there are these virtues that just order us. Someone that's able to trust that God will take care of them no matter what. That is a virtue that has to be formed by consistently choosing. And I think it's virtue is all about helping our will, which is our ability to love and choose, consistently choose what our intellect knows to be good.
Yeah.
It's really forming the whole human person together where my will is able to consistently easily be like, yeah, this is what I know I should be doing. And I'm easily going to be able to do that action. And I think everyone wants that in their life.
No, absolutely. Yeah.
So, hey, we're making virtues jazzy, baby. We're bringing virtues back. Yeah.
And pray with them. Benedict XVI, B16, came out with a book on the virtues. And I think that was one of the things, praying with like the idea of love. Like for me, love when I was a high school student, was just like, oh yeah, just, you know, you love someone. It just seemed like this thing that was out there, right? This concept that I didn't really live out, right? What does Christian love look like?
I think with something like what you're saying with charity and love, like recognizing the bigger virtue of what that actually means. It's being able to consistently love as God loves and loving God for his own sake. And it is more of that choice of what you're choosing to do. So I think the virtues just make things more practical and realistic of like,
yeah,
I'm learning how to actually put this into motion and lead me more to my goal. We're bringing virtues back, baby. I think what you said, like praying with these, that was kind of my thought with the social anxiety thing too, is there are like practical things we can look at, but it's also like learning how to bring God in it. That's Aquinas. He's looking at Aristotle's virtues. That's great. But it's not just becoming the perfect human. It's becoming the perfect human that God has called us to be, having grace elevate us. We can't just do virtue alone. We need grace within that. We need God within that.
And you, you said it well. We all desire it. We desire it. Yeah. And even when, I mean, that's our conscience, right? When we choose against the good, right? When we give in, when we don't have the strength or the grace to choose it, we know it. We feel it. We're impacted by it, right? Like we know. Mm-hmm. We know when we've chosen against the good. And when we're practicing virtue, we also feel it, right? We have that consolation of like, yes, that was good. That was right. It may have been difficult, but it was good.
Even when we have the seeds of that virtue, when we choose that good action, we realize how great that was.
Right.
But we need to have the follow through of it consistently doing it.
Yeah.
And I think it would be really good for us to do like another kind of follow up more on like charity, because I think that's a bigger concept. If we can like, this is our jumping off board to then like lay out what does that actually look like? Because that is pretty profound. Bada bing, bada boom.
Boom.
Jazzy virtues.
Loving it.
Any shout outs?
I want to shout out to SCED105. You know who you are. And then also, oh man, I had one and I've lost it.
Yeah, I feel like I had one too and it's just gone.
Shout out to all those people still listening, those faithful listeners. We appreciate it.
Seriously, yeah. Shout out to those that are listening and shout out even more if you share this with somebody else.
Yeah. Oh, and shout out to our brothers. That's what it was.
Jason, our brothers.
Jason,
Aaron, Jason, Jeremy.
Appreciate it. Oh, yeah.
You forgot about my other brother, didn't you?
Jeremy.
Yeah. Anyway, for the kingdom.
For the kingdom.